This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Gillespie looking to throw it in. Gets it up top to Queen. Dribbling left. Big step down the lane. Runner for the win. Baked it in! He baked it in! He baked it in! And Maryland has won! Maryland is going to the Sweet 16! Derek Queen with a runner left of the lane. Baked it in! And for the first time since 2016, the Maryland Terrapins are going to the Sweet 16!
Ryan Radke on the call for Westwood One. That was an outstanding call of Derek Queen's buzzer-beating floater, moving left, fading away bank shot to send the Terps to the Sweet 16. We'll have the game here on your home for Maryland basketball Thursday night, 7:39 tip, and we'll get the pregame show with Johnny and Naki started at 7 o'clock. Joining us right now is Randolph Childress. I mean, as an ACC guy, he had one of the all-time great tournament runs, 1995. Averaged over 35 a game in the ACC tournament, beat Carolina in overtime in the ACC final, Wake Forest legend, a DC guy, went to Flint Hill, and he's doing a great job as an analyst. He joins us right now. You know, it's really interesting. We've talked before because I've had you on the show, not that I'm asking you to remember it. It's not a big deal. But I was just talking earlier about Joe Smith because Derek Queen is obviously the best freshman Maryland had since Joe Smith, and you could argue before yesterday that Joe Smith, probably he was the freshman of the year, Randolph, he was incredible in 94, but this moment will probably cement Derek Queen's legendary status for all time. You played against Joe Smith that 95 season. Correct me if I'm wrong, there was a four-way tie for first. Yes. In the regular season, right? It was, yes, Wake, Maryland, Carolina, and UVA?
Yes.
I think?
And I think we swept UVA is how we got the tiebreak. We split with Maryland, we split with Carolina, but we swept Virginia, and that was how we ended up with the number one seed. But it was a four-way tie.
Yeah, because that was the UVA team with Staples, who could shoot it, with Junior Burrow, who's been a local. Corey Alexander's been a local. I'm probably forgetting a couple of other players. But, yeah, I mean, Joe Smith was one hell of a player. I mean, you were that run in the ACC tournament, you were a senior, right?
I was a senior in that group. Yep. You know, Joe was the number one pick in the draft. You don't need to say anything. Yep. Else, but him being the number one pick in the draft tells you how good of a player he was, how great of a player he was. and how in the depth that I have with Rasheed Wallace, Jerry Stackhouse, and all those other guys. But you got to be happy. Like, I'm happy for Maryland. I was actually in studio. And, you know, now I don't have to hey, I can cheer for him. And I was being honest. I'm just like, hey, I'm cheering for Maryland. I'm cheering for the home team. So happy for Patrick Queen, the staff. Everybody's deserving of that moment. Just a special moment for everyone. And again, this season's going on. It's not done. But to get through the first round is huge for these guys.
Yeah, it had been a while. I mean, they had not been to a Sweet 16 in 9 years. So size them up. What kind of shot do you give them against Florida?
I think it's going to be – that's a challenge. I think they match up well. My concern is their depth. And that's been a concern all year. We joked about the crap five. They responded. I thought the guards came back and responded in the second half. You know, Rice Gillespie and those guys, they came back and shot the ball really well, which is why I think they got back into this game until Queen ultimately made the winning shot. Their success is predicated on Reese and Queen kind of carrying the load. They play inside out. But that's the strength of this. I think Florida's the best team in college basketball right now. I really do. I thought they were tested by a championship team in UConn. Coach Hurley was even proud of the way his guys played. They forced Florida to elevate their game if they wanted to go on, and they did. There's not many teams that have that ability to play at such a high level as Florida does with their guards. You're talking 3,000-point scores, but right now, I think they match up with them. If they can avoid foul trouble in their depth, they're going to have to find a way to get some production in that game for Florida if they want to pull off the upset.
I want to talk about the remaining part of the field and even the tournament to date. But just as Randolph Childress joins us, talk about Maryland a little bit more and the game yesterday. First of all, a lot of people, social media-wise, think that Derek Queen traveled on that game winner. I don't believe that he did. What do you think?
I didn't when I saw it. I understand the conversation about it. But if you're a Colorado State fan, I guess you can get technical and complain about it. No one live said that. That's just when you played it back, you got a chance to see it, and you get a chance to be a Monday morning quarterback. Are you sitting there going, oh, he traveled? You were just thinking that when he shot the game winner. So I understand the conversation. I didn't think it was a travel. I didn't think it was live. It wasn't that obvious. I just thought it was a difficult shot. I thought it was defended well, but a heck of a player made a great shot. And honestly, to this point, I think it's the shot of the tournament.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, as a shooter, you were and a great scorer, one of the all-time greatest, you know, 50 greatest ACC players of all time, Randolph Childress was. The angle in which he got to as he got closer to the baseline, you know this, that becomes a lot harder to bank it in because your margin for error is less.
He made it difficult when he, you know, I was so shocked they ran it. I didn't think they were going to run it for him. I thought they were going to run it, you know, to one of the guards. I wasn't sure. I thought Rodney Rice had it going in the second half. Gillespie had his moments. I wasn't sure what he was going to do with it and who he was going to go to. And obviously he told us he went in the timeout and said, who wants the ball? And you put your season's on the line. That's a one-point game. That's not the game is tied, and worst case, we go into overtime. If you miss this shot, our season's done. And to have a freshman step up and answer the bell like that is special. He made the shot more challenging. Again, I mean, I think, he's falling left off the wrong foot, fading away.
Yeah.
But again, luckily, you know, you need to be 6'10" to pull that off. That's just a difficult shot. He kissed it off the glass, but he's had his moments and he's been special all year long. I don't know why enough people aren't talking about him. I covered him in high school in the Jordan Brand game, and I thought, wow, Maryland has got them a special player, and it's exciting for Maryland basketball.
Yeah, I mean, because he's really unique, right, for somebody that young, because his game is so much more about skill than it is about power and athleticism.
Well, that's his strength. He's not an athletic guy. He moves better than you think.
Yeah.
He's quicker than you give him credit for, but it's his skill set. It's his IQ. It's his hands, his feet. He just plays the game at such a high level. It allows Maryland to play this way because he complements, you know, Julian Reese and these guards. He just allows everybody a certain level of freedom. And I was worried about the matchup with Colorado State, because I was concerned about their stretching and would they have the ability to guard them. But Maryland matches up with Florida better than they do Colorado State.
That's interesting that you said that, because, you know, they got out-rebounded by Colorado State. Colorado State had 13 offensive rebounds. I understand a couple of them were on threes that bounced out deep, and sometimes you can't do anything about those, but it's the third straight game, Randolph, that they've given up double-digit offensive rebounds. Grand Canyon had 13 offensive rebounds. Michigan had more offensive rebounds in the Big Ten semifinal game than Maryland had total rebounds. I don't think they can beat Florida if they don't rebound.
The guards. The guards got a rebound.
Yep.
I mean, Gillespie had three, Rodney had four, Miguel had two, and again, they got no rebounds from their bench. They're going to have to find a way. They got 2 points from their bench, one assist and zero rebounds. That just can't happen. Florida is the best team. Their size, they got their physical at the guard spot, but they're physical at the front line, and they got depth. Like, that's the scary thing about this matchup. I like that they match up better from having size at the four and the five. That means Queen and Reese doesn't have to spend time on the perimeter. And that's what happened in a few of these games. When you're guarding, and you say Michigan, because Wolf plays like a guard, he's on the perimeter.
Yeah.
So they're spread out. So they spend more time in the tournament against Grand Canyon and Colorado State. Reese and Queen are on the three-point line defending. So when the shot goes up, they're on long shots. That's where the guards got to be. Everybody's got to pitch in a rebound, and you're accustomed to the bigs being around the basket, and you expect those guys to go get all the rebounds. But when you're in a tournament, when teams play four out or five out, which is the teams that they have played in these last three games, the rebounds are long. Everybody has to chip in and rebound, and then a lot of responsibility here. And credit to the backcourt of these guys. I mean, they struggled mightily. I think at one time I had them, they were 4 of 18 from the field. And when they went in at halftime, they came out in the second half and responded. And they deserve a lot of credit. As much as we're talking about, you know, Queen and his shot, and Julian Reese had his moments to start the game. He had another double-double, and he's been really good as well. But if they can continue that strong play, it bodes well, but they're going to have to find some production in some type of way from the bench.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's such a great point that you made about guards need to rebound and how, look, they've also played games in which they're switching one through five, which you then end up getting some of your bigs out on the perimeter. They were in a 2-3 zone occasionally yesterday, and sometimes it's harder to rebound out of a zone than it is man-to-man, but Florida's got some... You can't give them second and third opportunities consistently, or it'll be a long night. We are talking to one of the all-time great ACC players. players, Randolph Childress, who does a lot of game analyst work for ESPN. You know, you mentioned on that last play, by the way, I thought when Gillespie was throwing the ball in, I thought it was coming right back to him with, you know, maybe the ball into Reese, right back to Gillespie. He sets, you know, a ball screen and he comes off of it and shoots a three if a guy goes under and or comes across and shoots a floater or, a mid-range. Because you often see sometimes the inbounder as the guy that will end up, you know, being designed to take the last shot. But you mentioned Rodney Rice. I've watched every game this year. I don't know how much of the Terps you've watched. You were, you know, a many, many year professional internationally. To me, Rodney Rice looks like an NBA guard. What do you think?
He's starting to fill out and play to his potential. I've seen Rodney play in high school. I covered him when he was at Virginia Tech, and then now he's regaining his confidence, and that goes a long way with him. Going back to your statement you made a second ago, I was concerned. I was worried about Maryland when they came out of the timeout when Colorado State had the possession. They went zone, and I'm screaming at the TV, no, because you gave them an opportunity to get the three off. And I think sometimes as coaches, you outthink yourself. You think too much about it. You figured they were designing some man-to-man play, but you got to remember a three beat you, and it nearly did.
They had a foul to give, too. They had a foul to give, and Kevin apparently told them, and maybe that's why they showed him zone, because they were planning on giving the foul, and maybe they would have gone man on the next inbound. Who knows? But they had a foul to give and didn't give it, and you're right. I mean, the only way you lose is on a three, and they let their best shooter against a zone shoot an open three. That was nuts.
And it looked good from the second it left his hand, and you were like, oh, no. Luckily for them, he shot it with about 7 seconds left and gave them enough time. And, there was so much. You know, it looks great when you're doing it. You question it, whether it – sometimes I said to the studio, I would have preferred just to let us play, like get the ball before they set their defense. But, again, get into half court having 3 seconds. You know you got three dribbles. You always tell your guys you got three dribbles if you need it. You got it in the right position. Queen just made a play, but I thought they were running some type of elevator doors running. I can't remember who was running out to the corner, and I thought in between Reese and Queen, I thought they were looking to get a baseline runner type of three. You call it America's play, and those guys were going to screen and get the shot there, and then it was just a kind of the diversion, and then you run Queen up, and you clear out space for him to get to his left hand. So, again, it's a great play. I'm really happy for the Terps. They deserve this. Coach Willard deserved this.
Did you grow up a Maryland fan or a Georgetown fan?
I was going to Georgetown. I got caught back, you know, back then. I'm old enough that some people, we laugh. It's like a meme now. We joke about being called out of the classroom to watch ACC tournament and conference tournaments games. I got the call from Gary Williams his first year that he thought I would make it as a player. I'd be a pro player. And he said he didn't think that Maryland would be the place for me because they were placed on probation for two years. So I would have attended Maryland University. Georgetown and Maryland were part of Carolina. Seton Hall and Wake were my final five. And Gary Williams made the call and said, hey, I don't think you should come here because we're going to get the ban for 2 years for the NCAA tournament. And I think you can make it. And that lack of exposure would hurt you. So, you know,
you would have played your first two seasons would have been probation years. Exactly.
Yes. We would have been banned.
All right, we're talking to Randolph Childress. Real quickly, on the rest of the field, you've talked a little bit about Florida. What about the other side of the bracket? Can anybody beat Duke or Houston?
I don't think Duke has already beaten Arizona in Arizona. I know that doesn't mean anything. I just don't think – I think Duke makes it. With Alabama, with Grant Nelson being compromised physically, I worry about them. That should be the best offensive game, by the way, that we have remaining. There's going to be a couple of rock fights. There'll be a couple of rock fights, I believe.
Like Kentucky, Tennessee, Houston, Purdue.
Oh, my gosh. The Kentucky, Tennessee. And if we get Tennessee and Houston, it'll be the first of 40. It might be the first of 40 or 50 to win that game. That game will be just two outstanding teams. But I think Duke is the team to beat. Coming on that side, I'm really cheering for Houston. I think Kelvin Sampson is one of the best coaches
so good.
In the sport. and deserving of a championship. Auburn is talented. Auburn has been the best team from the start of the season to now. I know they've had some bumps in the road leading up to this tournament. They started out the tournament, you know, strong their very first game against Alabama State. It took them a little while to pull away, but they did. But make no mistake, that's a championship medal team. And then I just think Florida, for my money, is just the best team. Guard play, depth. They have guys that can take over a game at any moment and carry that team. And I like I said, I think Clayton is is an All-American. He's showing up, and his ability to close games as he did against UConn shows you why he's special. And so it's gonna be interesting. I think the number one seeds are all I'd have favored. If I had to say, there would be some upsets. Texas Tech is concerning. It would be a team that I think could give Florida a run for their money in the end, in that bracket. Michigan State is just by committee. So much depth there. I think that's a dangerous team. You can't, you know, but in Alabama, as a two seed, in Tennessee as a two seed. The SEC has validated how dominant they've been all year. They've lived up to this, you know, the expectations with nearly half the Sweet 16 coming from the SEC. They got seven teams in it. So that league is showing you why it's been, you know, for so long talked about as being the best league in college basketball.
So perfect segue into my final question. So of the 16 teams, they're all from four leagues. Actually, the ACC's got one. SEC's got seven. The Big Ten's got four. And the Big 12 has four, I guess. It's the first time that's happened, that number of conferences, so few conferences in the Sweet 16, since 1975. Is this a sign of the times that mid-majors and the best players at the mid-majors are just getting paid to leave and play at the Power Four leagues, and that it's going to be harder and harder moving forward to get Cinderellas, true Cinderellas?
It's the reason why I said this on air, this isn't the year for Cinderellas. You know, I was hoping, like, Arkansas being there as a 10th seed, they got NBA
talent. Yeah, that doesn't count.
That doesn't count.
No.
They are, it's going to be very difficult for Cinderellas. The best chance we had might have been Colorado State kind of beating Maryland to get in. But it's minor leagues. Minor leagues. Every now and then, you'll get a team like FAU, and you get a coach being able to retain those guys. So Dusty May being able to retain his stars off a Final Four run and get those guys back. And they didn't have a great year the following year, but that's the best you're going to get as far as having a team like that. And look at all those guys now. Three of those players are still playing. Elijah Martin is at Florida. Vlad Godin is at Michigan with Dusty May. And then John L. Davis is at Arkansas. So that shows you, if that group is kept together, that they probably would still be playing basketball right now. But the chances of doing that, you're asking these kids to turn down so much money. And credit to those young men for doing it to come back to FAU for the year that they did. And that tells you about, you shouldn't be surprised at Dusty May and the success that he's having at Michigan, because it takes a special individual for players to say, I'll turn down money because I want to play for this guy. But the chances of that situation happening is slim and none, because one, it takes a special person to do that. And then two, it's just hard to ask anyone to turn down hundreds of thousands of dollars to go play somewhere else. Like, it's just unrealistic to ask them to do that.
I got to run. You're the best for doing this. Really good insight. Randolph Childress, everybody. One of the great, John Gilchrist was probably, I'm kidding. Gilchrist was close to your tournament, but Randolph Childress had the greatest ACC tournament ever and is one of the 50 greatest players to ever play in the great Atlantic Coast Conference from yesteryear. Thanks for doing this again. Hope you're well.
I am. Go Terps.
Yep. Randolph Childress, everybody. We're done for the day. Chris is next.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.